Welcome to Is That Really in the Bible? The Bible addresses a particular group of people that I want to talk to today. It's a very common group of people. It's a very, a lot of people fit into this category. And here's the people that the Bible specifically addresses. Let's notice this. The scripture says, is any, in James 5 and verse 14, it says this, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Think about it. How many sick people are there in the world today? You visit a hospital, you walk down long hallways, and in each room there is a sick person lying there. Well, it's sad. I mean, and I'm talking about just one hospital. How many hospitals dot our land? How many old folks' home? How many people are sick? Your Bible addresses this particular group of people. And it's not just any group. It's a particular group of people called the sick. Is any sick among you? And notice, it doesn't say, is any broke among you? You know, it doesn't say that. You know, let him send a donation, a seed donation to some television evangelist. No, it doesn't say that. It says, is any sick among you? The Bible doesn't say, is any unhappy among you? Is any confused? Is any upset? Are any lonely people out there? Is any lost? No, the Bible particularly addresses this group of people. Is any sick among you? What does that tell us? It tells us that God is concerned about the sick people across our nation, and that there is something that we can do to help sick people. Now, let's notice what the scripture says. First of all, it asks the question, a very critical, important question. Is any sick among you? Look around. Look around at your society. Look at your loved one. Look at your own family members. Sometimes people are sick and they don't even know it yet. They've got something going on that they're totally oblivious to. And then one day, they get the dreaded news. You know, you've got whatever. You've got cancer. You've got this. You've got that. And all of a sudden, they too fit into this category of the sick. Well, let's notice what the scripture says. In the Bible here, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him call. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means the elders would be a deacon, a minister. Basically, people put into leadership positions would be referred to as the elders of the church, the deacons of the church, the ministry of the church. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. This is the first thing you do. Now, get this. You don't necessarily first call your doctor. Isn't that interesting? To so many people, a doctor is like a god. I mean, they place more. Well, my doctor said. I mean, I'm convinced if the doctor said jump off a cliff, that's what people would do. Well, my doctor said go jump off a cliff, and I'm going to do it because that's what my doctor said. Well, notice the Bible doesn't say call your doctor. If you're sick, call your doctor. First thing it does says to do is to call. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, wait a minute. Okay, I hear you saying, well, I don't go to church. I'm not the religious type. I don't believe in God. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, other than maybe you want to cut off the television channel right now or cut off your TV, because the rest of this, if you're not religious, if you don't believe in God, the rest of this is not going to help you. This is for a particular group of people called the sick, and this is what the Bible tells them to do. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, it's interesting when it says to call for the elders of the church. In other words, basically you call for the elders of the church and you tell them in all honesty what's going on. You say, look, I'm sick. I've got cancer. I've been diagnosed with cancer. I've been told I got 3 months to live. I got, you know, something going on in my body and I don't like it. I wish it weren't there. I'm sick. You call for the elders of the church. And in all honesty, you tell them what's going on. Okay, let's notice the next line of scripture. What the Bible tells us to do if you're sick. First of all, you call for the elders of the church. You tell them what's wrong. And let's notice this. Next verse. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the word anoint means to set apart. In other words, you call for the elders of the church, and you're going to be set apart for a very special thing. Now, what's this about anointing with oil? Never heard of that. That's sort of strange. I mean, what is it? Motor oil? No, not motor oil. Okay, what it is, it's olive oil. A little bottle of olive oil. You put a little bit on your hands, and you lay your hands on the sick person's head. This is called anointing. You anoint the sick with a little bit of olive oil. Just, you know, you're not going to have it poured all over you or anything. Just a little bit on your fingertips. And you lay your hands on the sick person's head, and you ask God for a healing. Now, the oil is purely symbolic. There's no power in the oil. I mean, let's understand that. It is olive oil, but there's no power in the oil to heal. It's symbolic. Well, what's it symbolic of? Well, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the oil is symbolic of. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God is about power. And if you are going to be healed, you're going to need some supernatural power. So the oil is just symbolic of the power of God. Now let's talk about this laying on of hands. Maybe you've never heard of that. Actually, the Bible has a lot to say about the laying on of hands. It's a personal touch. It's a sort of like a conveyance of a gift from one person to another. The person hopefully doing the anointing is going to have the gift of healing. You know, that's something that we all hope for, that the person, you go for the elders of the church, you ask the elders, which means more than one, to anoint you, and hopefully one of those elders is going to have the gift of healing. So you go there, you ask them, you tell them in all honesty what's going on with your body, why you want to be anointed. I'm sick, I've got this, I got that, I got this cancer, I got whatever's going on in my body, and I go to the church for the elders to anoint me with oil. Now, the laying on of hands, again, a lot in the Bible about the laying on of hands. Actually, let's notice this verse in Acts 28 and verse 8. It says, Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Again, it's a personal touch. Laying on of hands, anointing with oil. This is all what the Bible tells us to do if we're sick. Now, it's important to know what to do. Because, in other words, there's a certain way to go about this. This is what the Bible says to do if you're sick. You call for the elders of the church to anoint you. This is what your Bible says to do. And it's important to do it the way the Bible says to do it. Okay? It is important to do it the way God says to do it. It's also important to know when you're anointed, you go to be anointed, it's important to know what you want. Many times in Jesus, on one occasion, Jesus healed in many occasions, but on one occasion, there's a story about a blind man that came to Jesus. And the blind man said, Jesus said to the blind man, "What is it that you want me to do?" And it's almost a peculiar question. I mean, Jesus asked the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, wasn't it obvious? I mean, he was blind. But you see, what I think Jesus wanted was a verbal affirmation from the man, the blind man. The man said, "I want to see." Christ needed that verbal affirmation. Why? Well, because a lot of times we hide behind our sickness. We hide behind our pain. What Christ wanted was from the blind man is to say, "I want to see." Because you see, with seeing comes responsibility. This man was going to see things that he had never seen before. His eyes were going to be open. And with that special gift of healing comes responsibility. You have to guard your eyes. There's not everything you look at is good. And so Jesus wanted to know, what is it that you really want? And the blind man said, I want to see. And if I'm healed, I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that I can now see. I'm going to control what goes on, what I see with my eyes. It's sort of like, and give me an example. It's sort of like asking a man with lower back pain who receives a disability check from the government, you know, it would be sort of like asking him, what is it that you want? You know, the man comes to be anointed. Okay, what is it that you really want? Do you really want to be healed from that lower back pain? You see, you need to know what you want. Well, this back pain is killing me, but that check from the government, that disability check every month, that sure is not. I don't want to lose that. And if I'm healed, I don't know. Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to see? Do you really want this thing taken away? I've met a lot of people who are sick, who love it. Now I know that's a strange thing. It's weird when you think about it. But I've met a lot of misery lovers who love their sickness, who love their pain. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I don't know, see how you live through this. But they wouldn't give it up for all the gold in the world, and they wouldn't give it up for a miraculous healing from God. So it's important when we talk about healing, and you go to the elders of the church and you say, I want to be anointed. It's important for you to know exactly what it is that you want God to do. Do you really want to be healed from your sickness? That's important. Very important point. Okay, let's notice this verse, continuing on in James 5 and verse 15. It says this. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Wow. I mean, this is quite a promise. I mean, to me, this sounds like, almost, to me, it sounds like an absolute promise from God. You go to the church. You get the elders to anoint you with oil. They lay hands on you. They anoint you with oil. And this is the promise. Let's read this in a different translation here. Maybe it'll clear it up a little bit. James 5 and verse 15 again. It says, this prayer made in faith will heal the sick. The Lord will restore them to health. Notice this. It says the Lord will restore them to health. Okay, well then why are so many prayers for healing not answered? If that's what the scripture says, then why are there so many prayers for healings not answered? Well, I want to try to explain that reason why. Here's one reason. When God says to do something a certain way, He means it. Okay? He's not playing around. He's not joking. If the Word of God tells you to do something a certain way, He means business. He means to do it this way. Now, already, we've addressed this huge monumental group of people, the sick. They're everywhere. They're in the hospitals. They're in the old folks' home. They're living at home. They're sick people. And we've already read that you call for the elders of the church. Now, we've discussed that. If you're not religious, you don't believe in God, you're sort of out of the picture there. You know, but okay, let's say you are religious, you believe in God. You call for the elders of the church. You get them to anoint you with oil, olive oil. They lay hands on you and they pray for your healing. This is what God says to do. Now, I once met a man who had Lou Gehrig's disease. And he said, you know, someone had come by and said, you need to be anointed for this sickness that you have. And the man said to me, he said, yeah, this guy came by and said I needed to be anointed, but I've got the whole church praying for me. Yeah, you know, got the whole church. I got all kinds of churches praying for me. And he just dismissed everything that I just went through about anointing the sick. Because this guy came along and said, you need to be anointed for this disease. Ah, I got the whole church praying. You know, the Bible doesn't say, get the whole church praying for you if you're sick. The Bible doesn't say, start up a prayer chain on the internet and let all these people know, you know, all these people, these Christians that give lip service to being a Christian, let them know that you're sick and have them praying for you. Listen, majority of people that give lip service to being a Christian, you know, who think Christianity is just something they did long ago, you know, they made their decision for Christ long ago, and that's all been settled. Or they believe that all there is to religion is just one day of corporate worship. I just go to church for an hour, and that's all it takes to be a Christian. You know, these people that give lip service to being a Christian, their prayers are not even heard. Why would you want them praying for you? God doesn't, their prayers do not get beyond the ceiling. So why do you want a bunch of people, a bunch of fake Christians praying for you? You don't need that. You need to do what the Bible says to do. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. That's what you need. So we need to understand this. We need to understand this. Now let's notice it again because I'm afraid too many people just don't get it. Let's notice the verse one more time. James 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him of oil in the name of the Lord. That's what your Bible says to do. Okay? Are you willing to do it the way God says to do it? If you're not, could be one of the reasons your prayers are not answered for healing. That could be one of the reasons. Now, I want to tell you about a man. His name was Naaman. He was a Syrian official. He had one problem. He was sick. He had leprosy. And I've heard that leprosy is a terrible disease. You can't sort of feel your, I don't know, I'm not sure how it works, but it's not a good thing to have. Well, this man, Naaman, had leprosy. And Elisha was a man of God. And Naaman went to Elisha because he wanted to be healed. I mean, he heard that Elisha was a man of God, so he goes to him and he wants to be healed. And Elisha didn't even come outside. He sent his servant out. Now get this. Elisha said, go out there and tell him this. And the servant went out there to Naaman and said, go dip yourself in the Jordan River seven times. And Naaman blew up. He blew up. He said, I thought he would come out here and talk to me. I thought he would come out here and call on the name of the Lord. You know, I tell you what Naaman wanted. He wanted a television evangelist. One of these, what I call fake faith healers that are knocking people over and slapping them upside the head. Be healed, and dancing around the stage and all of this ridiculous nonsense. That's what Naaman wanted. And he blew up. He said, I thought he was going to come out here and dance around and call on the name of the Lord and, you know, call fire down from heaven. And he sent his servant out here to tell me to do this ridiculous thing like go dip in the Jordan River seven times. And Naaman's servant said, well, master, he was a wise man, Naaman's servant, that is, said, master, if he had told you to do something really hard, like climb a greased pole, you know, just try to, if he had told you to do something really hard, you would have done that. And Naaman said, yeah, okay. He said, now, so why don't you just simply do what Elisha has told you to do? Get your butt out there and dip yourself in the Jordan River seven times. It's very simplistic. And you never guess what happened. You never guess what happened. Naaman thought about it and he said, okay, I'm going to do it. And he went out to the Jordan River and he dipped himself one time, two times, three times, four times, five, six, seven. He dipped himself in the Jordan River and his leprosy was completely healed. He was healed of this hideous disease. Now, you answer this question. Suppose Naaman would have went out there and dipped himself 3 times. What do you think would have happened? Okay, how about 4? How about 5? How about 6? How about 6.5? How about 6.75? How about 6 7/8? No, you know what would have happened. Nothing. In other words, he had to do it the way he was told. So my point is, the first reasons our prayers for healing are not answered is we don't listen to instructions very well. That's the first reason. That's the first reason. Now, James 5 and verse 15 says this. Let's notice. It says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Whose faith? Well, obviously the person asking for healing is going to have faith. And the minister who is doing the anointing, or the elders of the church, they need to have faith. But basically you expect that from a church, for people to have faith. I hope so. And then again, I wonder about this faith thing. Because, you see, our church, we believe in anointing the sick. But there's so many people that don't even bother asking to be anointed. You know, I hear of sick people in our church, and I think, why don't they ask to be anointed? You see, it takes faith to ask to be anointed. In other words, you're saying, I believe God can do this. I have the faith to believe that God can do this. So, the second reason I think our prayers for healing is not answered is that there's no faith. In other words, your lack of faith is revealed by the fact that you've never asked the church to anoint you. Your lack of faith is revealed by the fact that you've never asked the church to anoint you. You see. Let's continue on. It says, James 5 and verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Now, let's not gloss over this thing, "if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Let's face reality. Most people don't take their sins serious, including yours truly. We just don't do it on a regular basis. We don't take our sins serious enough. You know, the scripture says this. Jesus said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So that sounds good. Okay, I got this promise. If I ask anything in Jesus' name, he'll do it. But there's two sides of the coin here. Jesus also said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So, you know, we can ask anything from God, but God comes along and says, "Okay, you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, but I'm going to ask something from you. If you love me, keep my commandments." You see, we overlook that. We overlook that. So this scripture says your sins, when we ask for anointing, your sins are forgiven. Jesus told a woman one time, she said, "Sin no more." I think it was a man that he told this. He said, "Sin no more." He healed the man, and then he said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." You know, I'm not saying that all sickness, comes from sin. Now, there's some sickness that is obvious that comes from sinning, like smoking. You know, the person has an addiction, smoked all of his entire life, now has emphysema, lung cancer. That's pretty clear that the sin has caused the sickness. But that's not always true, the reason we are sick is because of our sins. Not always true. When we go to the elders of the church to be anointed, our focus need to be on what it costs God, to forgive us. What it costs God to forgive us. You see, you being healed is not the hard part. All God has to do is just say the words, "Be healed." the cost of God being able to forgive you was very painful. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. Like I said, God healing you is the simple part. That's the simple part. But when we ask for healing, there's a promise in the Bible that says, if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. The forgiveness of sins is the difficult part. Do you want to be healed? When you ask to be anointed, focus on that fact that you are being forgiven of your sins. If you want to see results. If you want to see results. Jesus said this, for which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk? And when you ask the church to anoint you, you're not just asking for one thing. You're asking for two things. Yes, you're asking for healing, but you're also asking for God to forgive you of your sins. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says this. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we ourselves are healed. With his stripes, we ourselves are healed. You know, when you ask for healing, God understands because of what he suffered. God understands what you're feeling like lying there in that hospital with tubes running out of your body because he suffered a horrendous, torturous, humiliating death. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned by friends. He knows what it feels like to suffer and to hurt. And for that reason, he can heal us completely. So is that really in the Bible? Does God care about sick people? Well, not only does he care, he sends out a personal invitation. And the personal invitation is this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. And that's what's really in your Bible.